This chazar zechen l'shabach chazar shalag v'am yuhim b'sechaz b'am metziya daf chav beiz. The Gemara continues trying to bring a proof to Abaye Rava regarding the yish lo midas, whether it's have a yish or not. So if you're like this, a bright says if a river washed away someone's beam, wood, or stones and deposited them into someone else's field, the finder may keep them because the owner was miyayish. We see that the bright says they can only be kept because the owner was miyayish, but if he was not yet miyayish, it seems that the finder would not be allowed to keep them. This is a proof to Abaye. And for the Gemara, the bright means to imply that if there's a chance that the owner could save the items, the finder would not be allowed to keep them. In that case, even a Rava would agree that the finder would not be allowed to keep them. Fekhmar, the end of the Bryce says, if the owners were running after them, the finder would have to return the items to him. Now, if, as was just said, the Bryce is discussing a case where the owner could have saved the items, even without running after them, they should have to be returned. And for the Gemara, the case is where the items can be saved only with difficulty. Therefore, if he's seen running after them, it shows he's not Miyayish. If he does not run after them, it shows that he is Miyayish. Fekhmar, again, a Bryce says, if someone separates Chuma from another person's produce, if when the owner discovers that it was taken, he shows that he's in agreement for having that taken as truma, the truma is valid. Now, at the time it was separated, the owner was not yet aware. This shows that since he later consents to the act, it's considered consent earlier as well. It's a proof to Rava. And for the Gemara, Abaye would explain the Braisa as dealing with an appointed shliach who separated the truma. In fact, that must be the case, because the pasuk teaches that truma can only be separated with knowledge of the owners. The case is that the shliach took truma from a high-end produce, which is normally not done. Therefore, if the owner later consents to the use of the high-end produce for the truma, it's valid. If not, it's not. Where it tries again, the Braisa says, if dew falls on a produce and the owner is happy that the dew is on the produce, it becomes mukhshar lekabel tumah from the coming into contact with the dew. However, if the owner first finds out that the dew was on the produce after it was already dry, it does not become mukhshar lekabel tumah, since he wasn't aware while the dew was still on the produce. We see that a later thought is not considered to have been in place earlier. So the same lechayy will be true for yish, and this will be a proof to Abaye and for the Gemara. That case is different because the pasuk says ki yitain, which teaches that the owner must himself make the produce wet for it to become mukhshar lekabel tumah. If that's true, why does it become mukhshar lekabel tumah in the first case? Mar says that's based on the teaching of Rav Papa, who said that the pasuk is written as saying ki yitain, but it's read as ki yutan. This teaches that even if the liquid goes onto the produce on its own and the owner is happy about it while it's still wet, it becomes mukhshar lekabel tumah. Taught from the psukim that an item swept away by a river is mutter to be kept by the one who finds it. This is true whether it has a simon or not. This also teaches that when an item is otherwise lost, it may not be kept. Also, whether it has a simon or not. Now, according to Abaye, this can be explained as talking about before the owner was miyayish, and that's why even without a simon may not be kept. However, according to Rava, an item without a simon can always be kept, since the person will be miyayish. Yishalom does have a yish. Mar says to Yufta the Rava, this is one of the instances that we pass in like Abaye over Rava Yal Kigam. The son of Rava asked Ravashi, if Rava is refuted, how is it that we are allowed to eat the dates that have been blown off the trees from the wind? Ravashi answered, since there are animals and bugs that eat them when they fall from the tree, the owners may yayish from fallen fruit even before they fall. What about minor orphans who own trees and they're not capable of making something hefker? And Mar says, since most trees are owned by adults who are capable of being mafker, we may assume that the fallen fruit is from a tree owned by an adult. What if we know the tree belongs to minor orphans? What about if the tree is surrounded by a stone wall which protects the fallen fruit from animals and insects? Ravashi said, in these cases, in Echanami, the fallen fruit would be usher to take. The Mishnah then said, "Kriches b'shus Rab Marelu Shaloi." Rabbi said, "This is true even if there is a simon on it." We see that Rabbi holds that a simon that tends to be trampled upon, like this simon in the Rishus Rab, is not considered to be a simon at all. The owner does not rely on the simon to remain in existence. Rava said, "The Mishnah is discussing a bundle that does not have a simon." We see that Rava holds that a simon that tends to be trampled on, like this simon in the Rishus Rab, is considered to be a simon. The owner does rely on this simon to remain in existence. Others taught this as being a machlok between Rab and Rava directly, whether a simon that is tends to be trampled on is it considered to be a simon or not. In fact, our Mishnah said, if small bundles are found in the Rishus Rabim, they may be kept by the finder. The next Mishnah says that if they are found in the Rishus HaYochid, they may not be kept, they must be announced. Now, if there's no simon, why can't they be kept when found in the Rishus HaYochid? And what exactly is the finder announcing? Rather, the case must be where there is a simon. We see that if it's found in the Rishus Rabim, it may still be kept. This refutes Rava. You see that the simon that's going to be trampled is not considered to be a simon. Rava will answer, Zakti Gemara, the case is where there's no simon. With regards to the question of what the finder announces when he found in the Rishus HaYochid, he is to announce the location in which it was found. Rabba would disagree with this because he holds that the location of a lost item cannot serve as a simon. In fact, we find that Rabba and Rava argue about this mamish, this case, this question, whether location can serve as a simon. Rice says, if small bundles are found in Rishus HaRabim, they may be kept by the finder. If found in Rishus HaYochid, they have to be announced. If large bundles are found, even if they're found in Rishus HaRabim, they must be announced. Now, how will Rabba and Rava each explain the Brisa? And for the Gemara, Rabba will say the case is that the bundle has a simon, which is why the first case it may be kept when found in Rishus HaRabim, since he holds it will be trampled, it's not treated as a simon, and it may not be kept when it's found in Rishus HaYochid. In the case of a large bundle, since they're too tall to be trampled upon, even when they're found in Rishus HaRabim, the simon is considered to be valid, and that's why they may not be kept. Rava will say that the simon is the location in which they're found. Therefore, regarding small bundles and the rishus of rabbim, since they get moved around, location cannot serve as a simon, and therefore the finder may keep them. When found in the rishus hayochid, where it does not get moved around, it may not be kept. With regard to large bundles, since they're heavy and don't get moved around, even the rishus of rabbim, they may never be kept. Fekmar Armisha said, loaves of bread of a baker that are found may be kept by the finder. This suggests that loaves of home-baked bread may not be kept. Presumably, this is because home-baked bread has a simon and is recognizable as to who baked it. Presumably, it would therefore have to be returned even when found. There's just a rabbi. This shows that a simon that tends to be trampled upon is still considered to be a simon and it refutes rabbi. And the Gemara rabbi would say the reason bread is considered to have a simon is because people would not pass by bread and leave it on the ground. Therefore, the simon remains intact. Rabbi Gemara, there are goyim who presumably would leave the bread on the ground and kick it around, making lose the simon. And Gemara says even goyim would not step on bread. They're concerned that the bread has a kishuv placed on it through witchcraft. Rabbi Gemara, there are animals and dogs that surely kick around the bread. And the Gemara, the mission is discussing a place in which animals and dogs are not commonly found.